Lake Ministries in Bristol, Virginia. We're going to observe the Shabbat today, and we have a guest speaker, Pastor Ed Bowers. He's spoke many times and part of the fellowship, so he's not really a guest anymore. he's a regular, really, you'll say. So we're going to start the service this morning. Be a little different as we still have to fight with this COVID-19 and the mask and all that, but we will have service this morning, so we asked you to worship in, and we're going to have the table of the Lord, so you can, if you're live streaming, you can partake in that and go ahead and get your emblems ready, and we will do that later on in the service. So we're going to start this morning with Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom, 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 Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Asher Natan, Nalak, Derek, Hayashia, Yemashuk, Yeshua, Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. Prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. B'nai Israel, let Hashabbat. La so that Hashabbat le do a tambourine do alam. B'nai, v'nai Israel, let Hashabbat. La so that Hashabbat le do a tambourine do alam. B'nai, oh, b'nai, v'nai Israel, b'nai Israel. Od he Elolam Bishamru Bnei Israel et Hashabbat La sod et ha shabbat le do a tambourine do alam. Kike shel amin asa Adonai, asa Adonai, shemayim beharet vishemru v'nei Yisrael et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le do a tambourine do alam. Yo yam ha shavi shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash, shavat nina fash. Vishemru v'nei Yisrael et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le do a tambourine do lam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the sake. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem.
Father, on this day, on your Shabbat, Lord, we ask that you will bless the Jewish people today, Lord. Bless the land of Israel, Lord, as nations are forming to attack Israel and destroy the Word of God. Lord, we just pray today that you will bless them. Bless the Messianic communities around the world today, Lord. We ask that you bless the pastors today, the rabbis, as they bring your message of your words today, Lord. Just bless us today here in our fellowship, Lord, that today we'll have a wonderful service, Lord. We pray your blessings upon this service today, Lord, and blessings upon the Messiah, upon our community today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. The servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay, we have a little bit order of service this morning, but if y'all will rise, we will do the Shema, and then we'll do the Drosh afterwards. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Simkevod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen. You all can be seated, and we will do the drosh now. Just a little different order this morning. Let me get to that. Today's a double portion. It's called Nisvaim in Vayelech. It means standing, and it means he went. This is the last. This is the parashah that's the final one prior to Rosh Hashanah. And I think today what I came up with today on this one sort of tears back to Kitavo, which was last week. But, you know, today we live in one of the most critical times in our history that I've lived in my lifetime. And I think I may be the oldest person here. I believe I am the oldest one here today. So, okay. So in my lifetime, some of you may have seen other things, but it's the most critical time. There's so many things just coming all at one time, like to a pinnacle point, really is what you have to say. But God has told us a lot of things in his word. If we stay to the word, we will see what God is doing, and you won't be oppressed or depressed. You will know what, when you know what God's doing, then you can hang on to him and he'll lead us through. He says, we shall be a city that is set apart upon a hill. And if we obey the God of Israel, he will put us upon a city that sets upon a hill. He tells us that we will be the most blessed of all people if we obey God's commandments and love and honor what he says. You see, God has given us the abundance of good things. He tells us you will be the head and not the tail, and you will always be above and you will never be below. You're always on the top. You see, we refuse to pay attention to what God is saying and do not observe his mitzvotes, and that's his instructions to us. He tells us in his word, as Moses spoke today to the Israelites, he says, if you don't obey God and follow his commandments, curses will come upon us. And I was reading, and you know, yesterday was the Patriots Day, which was the 19th anniversary or observance, I guess maybe I should say, of 9/11. It happened. It didn't seem like it's been that many years ago, but it sure has. I remember, I know my grandkids were asking, they had to do an article about 9/11, and they were asking, were you there? And I'm like, well, I wasn't there, but I know I saw it on television. But I had just, the day before, I was working for a phone company in Foley, Alabama on September the 10th. And I had just left the job, and I had drove back to Pensacola, Florida to catch an airplane. And I was remarking that was the tightest security that I had ever been through at that Pensacola airport on September the 10th. They had me take my shoes off, my socks off, had to roll my pants legs up to my knees and do all kind of things. I'm thinking, boy, I've never done this before. It's sort of different. This lady was tough, and she had that wand thing, and she was just whacking me all over with it. And I was sort of jumping around a little bit. I was a little jumpy. But I'm thinking, and then I had a buddy that was from Nebraska. We were working down there, and he wanted me to stay to the next day, which would have been September the 11th, and I said, no, I'm going to go on home, Ron. You can stay and go on back to Nebraska the next day. So when I got back to work on the 11th, then the news that the planes had attacked, and so I called him, and he was in a conference room, didn't even know anything was going on. I said, keep your car, because they've shut down everything. U.S. under attack. So I think about a week later, he finally had to drive back to Nebraska because you couldn't get a flight nowhere. And we were in the Pensacola area, about an hour from him, so you couldn't get a plane, but he was able to keep the car and drive it back. But I was just thinking about all of that, And, you know, and this is what God is telling us. He says, if you disobey me, then curses will come upon you. He says, if you read what Moses wrote from God, he says, the sky over your head will be brass, and the earth will under you will be iron. If you think back to the visions of what was going on at 9/11, you can see where the air was full of brass. For some reason, they tested it. It had brass in it. And it also, the iron fell on the ground. Instead of rain, God says, you will have powder and dust that will fall from the sky and will cover you up rather than powder and dust. And I think everyone here probably saw the TV knows what that meant. It says, God will cause your enemies to defeat you. God says, you will advance one way, but you will have to flee before them seven. And I went back and I looked. The first plane that crashed into the tower in New York City was Flight 11, which was very interesting. And then the second plane that flew into the Pentagon was Flight 77. So that's interesting, and that's out there in the public view. You know, the first flight was 11, and the one that crashed into the Pentagon was Flight 77. So God gave us a warning in His Word on that day of what that was the Torah portion for that particular time was Kitavo, which says you will flee seven, you will have to flee before you seven times, and that's what the numbers on those planes were, 11 and 77. That just didn't happen by a fluke of the imagination. But, you know, but Moses today, just to go from that, but it's still what Moses is saying. That's what he told us that day, but we didn't hear. That's what the shofar, we're going to be blowing the shofar next week, but it's in the sound. The shofar is a sound to be alert that something is going on. That's what God was doing on that September the 11th day. That shofar was blowing, and it blew, and it came from, I think that plane came from Boston down to New York City. And, you know, that was 1970 was where the abortion stuff started so big in the United States, was actually in New York. And I think that was part of the destruction that we're seeing that still today. That's never going to go away. It's going to be like Pearl Harbor. It will always be a day that we will remember and shake our head that we had the warning, as they did with World War II. There was a warning given, and they did not observe it. So, but God gives you a warning. If you listen to Him, you'll know what the warning is. That's the important thing. Listen to God's word. And we see, but Moses gave a prophecy to the Israelites on this day, and that's what Nisvaim means. It means to be standing, and it means more than just standing. It says, God says, I will give you a prophecy. You will return to me, but you will be the outcast to the ends of the heavens. And Elohim will gather you and bring you back into the land which your father has possessed. That is talking about the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God said, I will bring you back into the land. You will be an outcast, but I will bring you back into the land. And the Israelites came back I think it was May the 14th, 1948. I was born just a little bit before that. I was born at Purim. So, but that's the first, they were coming back into the land. And you can see now in the 70-some years that Israel has been in existence as a nation, how that country has flourished. And it's truly a rose in the desert is what it is. And God, you know, that's the practicality of the Torah. You see, the mitzvahs which God has commanded us to do, He's saying they're not beyond us and they're not remote to us. It's not heaven, or is it at that far away that you're across the ocean from them? God says, my words are close to you, and they're in your mouth and in your heart. That's part of, I believe it's in Zechariah, where God's word will be in our heart and up on our lips in the end days. God's going to give it. You won't need anybody to teach you anymore. You're going to know God's word. And so God is saying today, just to sort of wrap this up today, God is saying, before you is life and goodness, and you also have death and evil. And God's saying, I command you to love God and walk in His ways and keep His mitzvahs. When you do that, God will stand with you, and He will bless you and support you. I've got to find one more little thing here to close. I didn't flip to it this But God is telling us that's what Nisveim, well, that's one of the, it's a double portion today, but Nisveim means to stand. And it means to stand with a purpose and with a direction. And also God is telling us not to just stand, but with a testimony and a living moment of to God's presence in an eternity in this world. So God is saying, stand and stand for what is right, but stand for me and have that moment of my presence in you, that you will stand and stand strong for the kingdom of God. So that is the Torah portion this morning. And we're going to, let's see what the next order is here this morning. Bear with me a moment here. Okay, we're going to, do announcements. Of course, next week will be Rosh Hashanah on Saturday, September the 9th. We will have Yom Tovah. That's the name for it in the scriptures. It's the blowing of the shofar, Rosh Hashanah. That's the day. This week coming up would be the week that we saw God create the heavens and the earth, was created on that day. And then Rosh Hashanah in Judaism is considered the day that Adam came into the world, was on Rosh Hashanah, which was the new year, beginning of the new year. And there's two new years in, you know, there's Rosh Hashanah, and then we have the other new year that is, I forgot what it is now. My mind's still not always with me on a lot of things, but we have two new years rather than the one. And there, it's a time of holiness, the time of prayer. So it's not just a time of partying and like the world's doing, getting drunk and going crazy down the road and running over people's cars and things like that. But it's a time of prayer, and that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's a time to pray and seek the face of God and repent. That's what it's about. Repent means to turn. That's what repent means. It means to turn, make a turn. If you don't make the turn, then you're on the same road. You got to make the turn to go the right way. And then Yom Kippur will be on Sunday, September the 27th. That'll be the Noel Kidry service, and that will be at 6:30 on Sunday, September the 27th. And the Nila service will be on Monday the 28th, and that will be at 5 o'clock, and that is when we will break the fast of Yom Kippur, and that is the removal of sins. And don't forget to cast your bread into the water. That's they always think I'm weird at the bridge, throwing bread over the bridge. Maybe they think I'm feeding the ducks, but you know, I don't see any ducks. But a lot of people have never heard of that before. Tisha B'Av, which is the casting away of your sins. You take bread and you throw it into moving water, and that's on Rosh Hashanah, and your sins are, that's an emblem, it's a representation of your sins being cast away. So that's something that's out there. You can read about it when you get a chance. Okay, that's our announcement. So this morning we're going to take up our offering. Just a note, we're going to be doing a love offering for Pastor Bowers at the close of the service, so keep that in mind. But this morning, being with the COVID-19 and having to keep distance, you'll have to take your offerings to the back table. And so we'll do that. Let me just have a prayer about the offering, and then you can go ahead and take that. And then I think we got a happy song going for the offering here. Okay, it's a happy time. God says, "Bring your offerings with thanksgiving." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the offering that you're about today, that you're going to receive, Lord. We ask you to bless us today, Lord. A good measure, pressed down and shaken over, Lord. We ask you bless Pastor Ed today, Lord, as he brings the message to you, Lord, that you have prepared specially for him to preach today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. After the offering, we will do the worship, and then we'll have the table of the Lord.
Lord, to tell of all you've done, of how you changed my life and wiped away the past. Oh, I wanna shout it out from every rooftop scene. For now I know that God is for me, not against.
My heart is bursting, Lord, to tell of all you've done, of how you changed my life from wiped away the past. Oh, I want to shout it out from every rooftop sing, for now I know that God is for me, not against me. Oh, I could sing an ending song of how you saved my soul. Well, I could dance a thousand miles because of your great love.
Oh, everybody dance! Hey! Hey!
Everybody's singing now, 'cause we're so happy. Everybody's dancing now, 'cause we're so happy. Yeah. If only we could see your face and see you smiling over us, and unseen angels celebrate. Hey, the joy is in this place.
Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Crucified protected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
There is none like
is none like you. Yeshua.
Prayer for some special needs. He's going to lead us in that, and then he will come and bring his message for this morning. So I'm just going to turn it over to him, and he's got the wireless mic and he's ready to go. So I'm going to step down and let him take over.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Brother Anthony. Appreciate that. Oh, hasn't it been good just to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yes. Now, if you have not all, as we prepare to receive the table of the Lord, if you did not, when you come into the sanctuary, receive the elements, they're on this back table, and you can go back there and pick up. There's a pack, and it's got both the bread and the wine or juice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got one. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. This is a time, of course, where we solemnize our hearts as we have been or should have been through the whole service, but we're doing this in particular because the table of the Lord is a very, very, very sacred thing. And Yeshua told us in verse 26, he said, "For all, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It's not just a memorial service, although it is, but it's more than that. It's not just remembering that Yeshua died, just remembering the event. We're being called upon to remember the reason behind the event, the purpose of why Yeshua went to the cross and took all of our sins, the sins of the whole world, those who have accepted him, those who reject him. That part doesn't matter. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him might be saved and not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life, gift of life. Sometimes we talk about that somebody gave an organ to somebody who was in need, going to die without that organ, and we say they gave them the gift of life. And they did, in a sense, the word, but that life is only temporary. Eventually, if the Lord delays his coming, the person who received the new organ is going to die anyway. It's appointed unto men once to die. After this comes the judgment. But what we're being instructed to do is to remember why Jesus did it. He did it. His body was broken for our healing, that there might be wholeness, not only in our physical body, but in our soulish body, our mind, our will, and our emotions, as well as in our spirit man, spirit being. Total healing for the total man. Man is total made up of spirit, has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and that all dwells in this flesh and blood body. And Jesus made provision for all three of those areas through what he did at the cross with his broken body. And then, of course, his shed blood was to give us a new covenant, to give us a covenant of life, a covenant of peace, a covenant of harmony, a covenant of strength and ability to do what he's called us to do. And I want to share something in regards to the body, the blood that came forth from Yeshua as he suffered on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, I'm just going to read this one verse. Paul says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" There are so many Christians that I meet, and occasionally, I must tell you, I have to fight it too. Satan tries to bring condemnation, tries to bring guilt, and our remedy is to go back to the covenant. Our remedy is to go back to the blood of Yeshua, because that's where our conscience was cleansed from dead works. But sometimes we have to remind ourselves what we've been cleansed from, or we'll continue to live as though we were still in it. Thank God Yeshua has redeemed us. He has delivered us. You don't have to have a guilty conscience. If you've sinned, all you have to do is say, "Lord, forgive me," and go for Jesus. Amen. Your belated and long, lengthy, drawn-out repenting and crying before God is not what's necessary. You can repent from now till Jesus comes back, but until you release your faith in the blood of Yeshua, you'll never be forgiven, and your conscience can never really be healed. Now, as we partake of the elements this morning, if I can get this peeled and get this wafer out, for whatever reason, I don't know. When they made these, they weren't thinking of me. But if you'll peel that very thin top layer off, excuse me, and hold it in your hand, and the Bible says that Jesus, when he took bread, he broke it. So break that bread with your fingers. That represents, it wasn't just that he was trying to get some bite-sized morsels for those who were going to partake. It represented his body being broken, that our body, spirit, soul, and fleshly body, might be whole. So let's take this and put it in our mouth and remember what Jesus' suffering was all about for us. And then after the same manner, if you pull that tab off of the cup, this is a new covenant represented in Christ Yeshua's blood. It's our covenant of peace. It's our covenant of wholeness. Because shalom, the word we translate into English, meaning peace, means nothing is broken, nothing is missing. Yeshua is broken, but we're whole. Right now, just say that with me. I'm whole by Yeshua's suffering. And I receive this blood, the token of the covenant I have with my God, that I live in wholeness and I live in victory. Let us partake. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The juice is a little bit tangy, bitter. At least it was when I tasted it just now. That just reminds us that Jesus partook of a bitter cup. He took our bitterness, okay? Now, that has a dual application. He took the bitterness of the pain and so forth of life, but also it means that we don't have to be bitter towards one another. Amen. We don't have to be bitter towards one another. We can live whole. We can live well. We can live in victory over our fleshly feelings. We have been forgiven that we might forgive. Amen. We have been forgiven that we might forgive. Rabbi Joe this morning sent me some prayer requests that he wanted us to remember. And Brother Anthony's helped me a little bit with these this morning because I really don't know everybody's name, and I'm not going to try to pretend that I do, but God knows every name. And God knows where every person is at this moment. In fact, he knew you were going to be at whatever place you are right now, and if you're watching by live streaming, he knew you were going to be watching today. Wherever you go, you can't go any place that God did not already know you were going to be there. So Rabbi Joe asked that we would remember to pray for Aja, precious sister who comes here. She's not here today. That God would give her strength and healing. I believe she had a hip replacement. And we need to pray that that will be a full, complete recovery. We're going to pray for Linda to be free of skin cancer, melanoma. We're going to pray for Karen. And Rabbi said we're lifting her up as a caregiver. She's giving care to somebody, and that can be a tedious job. That can drain you emotionally as well as physically, and it could drain you spiritually if we allow it to. And for her children to walk with Yeshua, for them to walk in the presence of the Lord. And then for Linda's husband, Buzz, who had some type of eye procedure done, and they put a needle into the retina of his eye, and that procedure will accomplish its purpose, and it will do nothing else. There'll be no side effects, no lingering after effects. So let's hold these up before the Lord. And I want to ask all of you, and those of you who know Yeshua watching by live streaming, I want to ask you just to release your faith as we pray over these. Father, we come to you in Yeshua's name. He said anything we'd ask you in his name, believing that you would do it for us. And so, Father, we thank you as we hold Aja before you this morning. We proclaim that she has recovered. We call that which has not totally manifested, as though it were, that she has totally recovered from hip surgery, and there'll be no lingering after effects that are negative in Yeshua's name. And we pray for Linda, Father, to be free of skin cancer. And we pray for Karen, that as she's taking care of people, taking care of whoever it is that she provides love and nurture and care and assistance and provides spiritual comfort to, we just pray that you strengthen her emotionally, strengthen her physically, Strengthen her in every way she needs to be strengthened so she can give not just her care, but she can release your care into this individual's life. And Father, we in holding up Linda before you, who has had melanoma, skin cancer. Father, we agree right now that this cancer is cursed at its roots and must die from the root up, just like the fig tree did when Jesus cursed it. Jesus, you said, if we didn't doubt in our heart but believed that what we would say would come to pass, that we could speak to the mountains. And this melanoma doesn't belong in Linda's body, so we command you to go in Yeshua's name. And Lord, we lift up before you Buzz, Linda's husband. Father, who had this painful procedure in his eye. Father, I thank you that no damage was done, and if there was any, I thank you, Father, that the blood of Yeshua and his stripes heal that right now. Healing power of God flow through Buzz's eye. Father, let there be full restoration, full use of that clear sight, 20/20 vision, 20/20 vision in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. And then I wanted to remind you also, as we're praying today, the Return, which is a national program sponsored mainly by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, also the National Day of Global Day of Prayer and Repentance, is going to be held, and I think they're going to be putting up in a little bit of thing about that. And Rabbi Joe has been asked to come and blow the shofar in one of the meetings or some stage of the meeting. And he has asked us today to pray over whether or not he should go. As many of you may know, those here in the congregation, those watching by live streaming, that Rabbi Joe has been standing against hairy cell leukemia. And it's been a long battle, but he has already won. I said it's been a long battle, but he's already won. We're only waiting for the manifestation of that victory. And the same goes for you, Anthony. We're only waiting for the manifestation of what's already been done in your body through faith in Yeshua. Amen. So we're going to pray for the Lord through his Holy Spirit, or if he uses how whatever way, that the Lord reveals to Rabbi Joe whether he should go and be a part of that. And I guess the concern there is being in that kind of a setting with thousands of people no doubt going to attend, that it would be, he'd be protected if he goes, and if he's not supposed to go, that he'll operate in the wisdom of God. Sometimes God's answer is don't go, and you're using the wisdom of God, and God will protect you if you don't go. Other times, God may tell you to go into a dangerous situation, and if you'll believe, he'll take care of you in that situation. The key is finding out what's God's method. What's God wanting to do? Which way does God want to route your healing? So let's pray right now. Father, we lift up Rabbi Joe before you. Before we pray about the day, the return, Father, this national day of prayer and repentance, Father, we hold up before you Rabbi Joe Anton. Lord, you know that this has been a stressful week, as all the times when he's had to go to Florida can be taxing on the body, taxing on the mind, even taxing on the spirit, Father. And we just come to undergird Rabbi Joe and to hold him up before you and to say, Lord, touch him and minister strength to him and minister energy to him. And Father, we thank you that in spite of some of the negatives that may have been spoken by the doctors, Father, we, along with Rabbi Joe and Dawn, believe the report of Yeshua. We believe the report of your word. And we thank you, Father, that Rabbi Joe is healed and delivered from every vile symptom of hairy cell leukemia. Now, Father, in the interim period, while we wait on the manifestation, I thank you that you make known to him your will. Should he go to this event, or should he refrain from going? Father, we just thank you. Either way, the important thing is to be in your will. And I know that's the cry of Rabbi Joe and Dawn's hearts. Lord, they want them and their family and this congregation, Lord, in everything they do and say, to be in the center of your will. We just ask you, Father, to help all of us today. We all stand in the need of your guidance, that we might be in the very center of your will. Lord, we're not interested in being in your permissive will. Lord, we want to be in your perfect will. We thank you that you've promised. You've told us in your word that you don't want us to be ignorant, but knowing what the will of the Lord is. So it's in alignment with your word that we pray and ask for your guidance, your wisdom to be given to them, and we thank you for it. In Yeshua's name, angels, you surround their vehicle as they're driving, coming back today. Father, I just thank you that you keep that car running perfectly smooth and mechanically sound. Thank you, Father, that I have a comfortable trip. They can enjoy fellowshipping with you and with each other. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Carol, is there anything else I've overlooked? Okay, very good, very good. It's always an honor, and I say that with sincerity. In fact, I texted Rabbi Joe this morning and told him we were so honored to have the opportunity to come and to be with you today. And we're just believing God's going to speak to our hearts and speak to our lives and help us to know what he wants us to understand. Amen. And you pardon me, I've got to go down here to the pew and get I left something down here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ministers are human just like everybody else. Amen. Prone to forget at times. Hallelujah. You know, I was listening to what Brother Anthony was talking about during the Torah portion this morning, how that the situation in our world with the COVID-19 virus, with the hate and the animosity and the bitterness that's being spread all over our country, causing damage, causing rioting and looting, causing death. That's all a part of Satan's plan. In every age, if you'll go back and study the Word of God, in every age, there's always been an attempt by the enemy to get our focus, or the focus of the people of God, off of what God wants us to be looking at. Satan is very good at being a master of diversionary tactics. Never forget that. The Apostle Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We have victory over Satan, but to be able to see that victory manifest, we're going to have to be aware of the tactics of our enemy. Amen? And that's one of them, is to try to keep us focused on the wrong thing. I believe one of the reasons why that Satan has used some government officials to mandate the shutdown of churches. Their church is actually being persecuted, put in prison, being fined large amounts of money, because of having a church service, because of having a congregational meeting. That's done for only one reason. If Satan can keep us from being together, we're not going to have the power that we would have in our unity. Now, I realize unity is not just a physical presence of being together. You can be together and still not be in unity. It's happening all over the world. People get together and they're not in unity. It's even happening in our Congress, in our Senate, and other places. But the idea that when we come together in faith, believing that the presence of the Lord is going to work through everyone in the body, in the local assembly, that there's going to be power released, there's going to be victory released and deliverance released. When we come with that kind of faith and expectancy, there is a manifestation of the power of God. And Satan hates that. Satan hates you. Satan's not tolerating you. He's out to destroy you. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Yeshua said, I came that you might have life and have it in abundance, till it's just overflowing. Not just in you, but flowing out of you to minister to someone else. Amen? Hallelujah. So realizing that, it can be so easy for us to allow the world to pressure us into conformity. Now, many times when you talk about conformity to the world, people think, oh, yeah, the world's going to try to get you to go drink. The world's going to try to get you to go out and carouse and commit adultery, going to try to get you to lie, all these other things. And that's true. I'm not diminishing that at all. But there's more to that than just those things, than just moral issues. There's the issue of who we are as an individual believer in Yeshua. There is the issue of our ability to function in his body where he has placed us. Amen? You weren't just put in the body of Yeshua to take up space. There is nothing in our body. This is my opinion. I know there are doctors. They'll say, well, you really don't need your appendix. You really don't need your, what are these things up here? No. No, they take them out and give you tonsils. To take your tonsils out and say, oh, you don't really need those. I don't believe that God in his wisdom, when he created man, had a purpose for every part of our body. Amen? Now, can we get by without them? You may, but you're going to miss that purpose. You're going to miss that benefit or that supply that part was intended by God to bring into your life. Amen? I believe that thing has a spiritual application. I believe that every one of us were put in the body of Yeshua to produce something. Not just something that's going to benefit us, but something that's going to help the rest of the body be able to do what it was intended to do. So I want to talk to you this morning upon this subject. We don't have to participate. We don't have to participate. Have you ever been invited to an event? Somebody, some friend, somebody close to you, some family member, and they said, oh, please come. You'll have a great time. Come on. Come on. Go with me to this, whatever it is. Actually, I need your help to be there with me at this event. And you, in your innermost thoughts, just thought, you know, I'm not going to have a good time. Ever been to one of those? You knew before you got there it wasn't going to be fun. Anybody? One person. Thank God for honest people. But we went because we felt we had to. We felt that we had this responsibility to go. We felt we had this obligation to go. Sure enough, when we got there, it turned out just like we expected it. We didn't have any fun. We were miserable. Truth being told, the only reason on God's earth we'd go through something like that was because we thought we had to. We didn't have a choice. The world wants you to think that you don't have a choice. But we do. We do. We can choose to participate in COVID-19, or we can choose not to participate. We can choose to participate in the anger and the hatred and all these things that are going on and the backbiting and the gossip. We can participate in all that junk. Or we can choose, no, I will not participate. Here's a clue. You shouldn't be participating in anything Yeshua wouldn't participate in. Amen? You shouldn't be involved in anything Yeshua would not be involved in. Because we are his body. Ephesians 1:23, Paul says very plainly that the church, the congregation, is the body of Yeshua. The fullness of him who fills all in all. In other words, God planned that in the congregation, in the body of Yeshua, would be all the power of God. See, when Jesus left, the power of God didn't go away. It came in the form of the Holy Spirit to indwell you and I so we could properly represent Yeshua. Amen. In John's Gospel, 17 and verse 11, I'm reading, Jesus is in the garden praying this high priestly prayer, as it were, to God in behalf of his disciples who he was getting ready to leave. He said, now I'm no longer in the world. Now I'm no longer in the world, although he was still on planet Earth. But you see, Yeshua practiced what he preached, and he taught us that we ought to not look at the natural and what we see, but look at what the promise says and declare the promise, and there'll be a manifestation. So as far as Jesus was concerned, he was already gone out of this world before his feet ever left the ground. Selah. And then he went on to say, they, talking about his disciples who were there with him, said, they are in the world, but I'm leaving the world. And Jesus had this concern for his disciples, those he had been training. He said, but I'm going to you, coming to you, the Holy Father, guard them by the power of your name, which you have given to me, so that they may be one just as we are one. Then in verse 16, that same 17th chapter, Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, Jesus was gone. As far as he was concerned, he'd already left. He knew he was going away. He knew they were going to still be here. But the one common denominator was whether Jesus is gone and we're here, or Jesus is here and we're here, as it were, with the disciples, we don't belong to this world. In fact, if you look and read that same verse the complete Jewish Bible, they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. That's identity. We're here, but this is not our home. We're here, but this world is not our kingdom. We're living in another kingdom. We represent another kingdom that has different standards, that has different privileges. Amen? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, listen to what Jesus said. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know that you've accepted the thoughts of the enemy when you start talking like he talks. You know, I believe it would be good if we could have a tape recorder some way hooked up so that for a whole week it would record every word that we said, both the words we said in the assembly, but also when we leave. I believe that, number one, we might find out that what we say in here is different than what we say when we go back home, or when we go to the grocery store, or we go wherever else we go. And second, I believe that what we'd find out is that we're agreeing with what God says, or at least we're giving lip service to it. I've never ceased to be amazed at how that on Sabbath, so many people become experts in these spiritual truths, but they never talk about them any other time of the week. I mean, if you start talking about healing, people, oh, yes, yes, by the stripes of Yeshua, we're healed, hallelujah. And the rest of the week, all they talk about is how bad it hurts. How their fever's gone up. How their indigestion's worse. Well, I'm just telling them the truth. No, you're telling facts. Truth is you've been healed. Truth is you've been redeemed from the curse, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We'll talk about that in a moment. But so when you begin to talk like Satan, it means you've accepted, you've embraced his thoughts to the place that has gotten down in your heart, and now out of the abundance of your heart, you're speaking. Except maybe for those guarded occasions when we're around other believers. Jesus went on to say, listen to this, for after these things, food, drink, clothing, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the way of the world. Seek it. Step on somebody if you have to. Lie if you have, whatever means you have to get what you want. Because after all, it's what you want that matters. Well, Jesus went on to say, after all these things the Gentiles are seeking, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows you need them. But he's got a different way for you to get them because you're not in this world's kingdom. You're not operating under this world's political system, financial system, health system. We're operating in a different method and mode. Amen. Jesus said, now here's all you're supposed to do in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things might be added unto you. Thank you. Shall. That's a definite statement from Yeshua. If you'll just seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. He said, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the first thing we ought to be seeking. Why? Because when you seek the kingdom, you're going to find out where your supply line's at. Come on. You know, I don't go and write a letter to England or to the Prime Minister of England or France or some other foreign country and say, hey, I want to know where is my tax refund? Where is my money? Where's my health insurance? Where whatever? Why? Because I'm not in their jurisdiction and they don't owe me a dime. They don't owe me a dime. But our nation of America has made certain promises to me and to you as citizens of this country, certain benefits that belong to us because we are in the kingdom of the United States of America. So God doesn't want us looking to the world to take care of us. You know, my father, Kenneth Bowers, would have been, he'd have been angry and hurt both. If I'd ever said, Dad, I'm going over to the neighbors. I need to see if I can borrow $20. He'd have said, what? Where are you going? What you going to do? I'm going over to the neighbors, see if I'm borrowing. I need $20, Dad. I'm going to go over there and see if I'm... Well, why don't you just ask me? I'll take care of it. Reminds me of what James said. We have not because we ask not. And then he went on to say, but sometimes you ask and still don't get it because you're asking amiss, right, that you may consume it on your lust. See, the Lord doesn't want us lusting for things because lust leads to greed. Lust leads to deception. Lust leads to a multiplicity of things, none of which line up with the nature of the kingdom of God. Amen. And then he said, his righteousness. See, if you don't know you're righteous, Satan can convince you you don't deserve to receive anything from God. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say. We are not righteous because of what we do or righteous because of what we don't do. We're righteous because Yeshua paid a price. Our righteousness is a gift from Yeshua to us. That's what his suffering was all about, to clear the slate. So that there was nothing in our account that showed that we had a debt to God because of sin. Hallelujah. We can stand before God today and worship him without being afraid because we know we're righteous by the blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, God made him, talking about Yeshua, who knew no sin. Bible says there wasn't even a guile found in his mouth. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us. Why? So we might become the righteousness of God in Yeshua. Amen. You're never going to be any more righteous than the day you got born again. The day you put your faith in the atoning work of Christ, you became the most righteous being you'll ever be, and there was absolutely nothing lacking. When Jesus on the cross drew his last breath and said, it is finished. It was. There's nothing you got to add to it. It was finished. Somebody comes along and tries, well, you still got to do this, you still got to do that. No, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin was like a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Amen. You're as clean before God as Jesus is. You're as righteous in the eyes of God as Jesus is. And because of that, now you can go expecting that when you seek first the kingdom of God, everything that's there is going to be made available to you. Look in John's Gospel. I've got to hurry. Look in John's Gospel, chapter 16. Hallelujah. John chapter 16 and verse 16. 13. I'm going to read 13, 14, and 15. Jesus says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, has come, he's going to guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will show you, tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. What relevance does that have? That has, verse 15 has no relevance to you and I unless the Holy Spirit wasn't just going to come and bring us a list and say, here are all the things that now belong to Jesus because they are the Father's and now it belongs to Jesus. If we're in Jesus, we're in Yeshua, it belongs to us. Hello? All the resources of heaven, all the resources of the kingdom of God belong to us. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Can Joe just take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. I've got it all. As much as Jesus has it all, I have it all. Amen. I hope about 3 o'clock in the morning you get a revelation from God, shoot it straight up in the bed and say, glory, I really do have it all. Because when you realize you got it all, when Satan comes around to say, I'm going to give you this, this, and this, it won't bother you because you already know you've got it all anyway. He's got nothing to offer you. On the other hand, if Satan comes and says, oh, I'm going to take this and this and this from you, you can smile at that too and say, hey, I gave it all to Jesus. You can't take nothing from somebody who has nothing, but you can't give them anything to anybody who has everything. Amen. What do you give to the person who has everything? Praise and thanksgiving to God for his provision. Amen. In 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Through which he has given to us exceeding great and precious promises, so that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you got born again, you got a divine nature placed inside of you. Now, I realize and you realize that sometimes we don't let the divine nature be the one in the ascendancy. We don't let the divine nature be the one that's ruling and reigning in our life. We allow our carnality to show up. We allow our unsanctified emotions to show up, and we begin to get rough with somebody. We begin to speak badly about somebody. We begin to murmur and grumble and complain. Amen. And then we wonder why our days aren't any better than they are. But going right along. My point is simply this. We don't have to participate in the corrupt nature of this world. We don't have to participate in the screwed, misconstrued thinking of the world. We can think clearly. We can act godly. We can live victoriously because there's a divine nature. The same nature that was in Jesus is in you and I. Amen. We don't have to participate. We don't have to allow ourselves. In fact, we have to give the devil permission. If he does anything in our life, it's because somewhere we gave him permission. That's not a condemning word. It's just an admonishment for all of us to begin to search and say, Lord, is there any place? Where have I opened the door? Well, if you got strife in your home, don't say, where did my wife or my husband open the door to this? Get along with God and ask him if maybe you opened the door. Oh, shambhala. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. See, we not only have a divine nature, we got a divine thought process. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And do not be, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Talking about the people of the world. He just got through talking about the fact that worldly-minded people do not understand the things of the world. That's why we must keep on that helmet of salvation and guard our mind and guard our heart so that the influence of the world doesn't begin to take over our thought process. Because you can't receive what you don't believe. Right? Just make a note of that. You may have wrote it down before hearing somebody else teach it, but write it down again. You can't receive what you don't believe. And you can't believe when you're listening to the world tell you what you can't have. When you listen to the world say, well, you know, now this is just, you just have to face reality. I had a dear lady, friend of ours, where we used to live in Abingdon. She came to visit us at our new residence in Bristol. And we were sitting there just fellowshipping and chatting. And she said, well, you know, we're all getting older. And I said, well, it beats the alternative of dying. And she said, but you know what I mean. We're all getting older. And I said, well, that if you stay here, that's inevitable, I guess. And she said, yeah. She said, and your bones begin to ache, and things that used to work don't work, and things that used not to work are now working against us. And you know what I mean? I said, no, I don't. You see, the world gets this mentality, and it's like it's inevitable that you're going to get old. When you get old, you're going to get sick. Your body's going to begin to hurt. Now you may say, Brother Byers, don't you ever have opportunity to hurt in your leg or your back? Oh, I get all kind of opportunities, but I can decide not to participate. Amen. I can decide that's not for me. That's not where I'm not involved in that. I'm involved in health and wholeness and healing. We got people, it's a very unfortunate thing, and my heart bleeds for them. A lot of people have not only lost their job, lost their business, because of this COVID-19 thing, or because somebody rioted and looted in the name of claiming their right of free speech, carried out a protest and burnt their business down. Come on. What am I saying? I'm saying this. We don't have to participate in that, nor do we have to accept it coming and affecting us. Will we have the opportunity to be affected? Yes. But we don't have to participate. We don't have to go where the world's going. We don't have to follow their pathway. We can say no. You know, sometimes I think we say no to the now, Satan, you're bothering me. I don't like that. Now I want you to stop it. You're not going to get an old cat to get off your lap by patting it and scratching it under his chin and patting its fur in the right way. If you say, scat-tub, I'll guarantee that old boy will move. If you want Satan to move, sometimes you got to put a little to your rebuke of the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me move. I got to get going. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. And do not be conformed to this world. And I said it earlier. I'll say it again. The world is trying to conform us so that we won't be a bother to them. The world's trying to conform us, get us to conformity, so we won't be a pain in their side, so we won't be an irritation in their life, so we won't make them look bad. Just by the fact you serve Jesus, it causes there to be a light that shines onto the darkness, and now the darkness gets exposed. And Jesus, and John said in John chapter 1, that he said, the world doesn't come to the light because their deeds are evil and they hate the light. So if they hate you, if they mock you when you talk about the Lord, don't be surprised. They're just acting like citizens of that kingdom operate. You see, they're in the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah, we're not in that kingdom. My point is this. That word conformed literally means that you would take something and you'd melt it down, like you'd melt plastic or aluminum or something. You'd melt it down and then use extreme pressure to force it into a mold so that it would conform to every crack and crevice of that mold, so that what would come out when you remove the mold is an exact duplicate of the mold itself. The world wants to mold us into its likeness. The world wants to mold us into its similitude. But we're called to be living examples, God's masterpiece of the image of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Moving right along. There's a difference. God looks at us differently than he does the world. He looks at the world differently than he does us. His intentions towards the world are that they would all come and become as we are. But if they don't, God's plan is there's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a day of judgment for those who refuse the only remedy that God has accepted. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no matter how smart, how rich, no matter how whatever, no man comes to the Father but by me. In Exodus chapter 8, verses 22 through 23, the Bible tells us that when the plagues were being poured out on Egypt, the first three came and had an effect on everybody, both the children of Israel as well as the Egyptians. But then God sent Moses to go to King Pharaoh and tell him, now God's getting ready to make a delineation. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a difference between you and the people of God. What happens to you in Egypt will no longer happen in the land of Goshen. See, there was God had appointed the land of Goshen, and that's where the people of Israel lived. And the Egyptians lived in the rest of the country. Can I tell you, God's got an appointed place for us to live. And if we live there, we'll be protected. And if we live there, we'll be taken care of. And if we live there, we'll have victory when all the rest of the world is in utter chaos and destruction and being plagued like they never have experienced before. Listen, if you think COVID-19 and the rioting and looting that's going on now is bad, wait until the Antichrist comes. Wait until the Antichrist comes and literally, not just using a term, but literally all hell breaks loose. As one old guy said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. But God has made provision us right now in this present time. We are just like the people in the land of Goshen. We don't have to participate. We don't have to be affected by what's affecting them if we stay where we belong. If we stay in our land, if we stay in our kingdom, the kingdom of our God. In the book of Colossians, let me read this to you. I could quote it to you because Kathy and I pray these prayers every day, and this is one of them. But in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, listen to this. I'm going to read verses 12, 13, and 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Pause. Look at me. Do you ever get these little advertisements in the mail? Most of them are from some loan company. And they tell you, you've been pre-qualified to get a loan. Isn't that sweet of them? They are so sweet. Boy, bless their hearts for thinking about you and me like that and just picking us out of, they don't want you to know they sent out millions of those things to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And if your name's Tom, Dick, or Harry, it's only an example. Don't get upset. Yeah, you've been pre-qualified. All you have, had just fill this out. But you know, you don't even have to fill the little form out. They say, if you'll fill it out, mail in, we'll let you know that you whether you qualified or not. All you have to do, they give you a phone number. If you just call that number and tell them, I want to use this. They don't even ask you how much money you're making. They don't ask you what your wages are. They don't ask you nothing. They'll just say, we're signing you up right now. You can use that little check that came with the promotion. Amen. Now, if you've used those checks, I'm not condemning you. That's not my point. My point is simply this. This verse says that God did that for us. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified, or you could say pre-qualified, because before you ever accepted Jesus, God made provision for you to be accepted if you just call on the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've been delivered out of the darkness. We're not in darkness. In fact, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, I believe it's in the 5th chapter, talks about the fact we were in darkness, but now ye are light. We don't just have light. We are light as much as our Father is light. Amen. You got to try real hard as a believer when you go out into this world. You got to really work hard to keep the light from shining. It'll slip out of your mouth. It'll slip out of your eyes. I remember I had a boss one time and he told me, he said, you've never really been read till somebody reads your eyes. The world's looking at our eyes. I pray they see Jesus. Amen. I pray they see Jesus. Moving on. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We've been redeemed. We've been delivered. We've been put in a new covenant. We've been put in a new kingdom. And everything we need is ours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you. Praise God. We ought to just start doing what God told Abraham. He said, why don't you walk through the land? Every place you put the soles of your feet, it's going to be yours. And, you know, God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, every place you put your feet is going to be yours. You know what? I've often wondered when somebody preaches that, we all ought to jump out of our seats and just start walking. Claiming territory. Walk to the car lot and claim that car you're believing for. Don't try to drive it off till you've paid for it, but you could claim it ahead of time. Amen? Amen. And by the way, don't claim somebody else's car. That's called covetousness. Let me just tell you a funny real quick. I had a pastor, and I believe he was my pastor. I believe he was telling me the truth. But he said that somebody heard that, you know, you could claim things by faith. He saw a friend of his had a beautiful new car, and he walked over to him and said, "I claim that car's mine in the name of Jesus. Give me the keys." Oh, it gets better. The man gave him the keys. I'm going to take a drink of water while you let that soak in. I don't have a brand new car, but don't come asking for my keys. Hallelujah. But we can claim it and then put our faith to work, and God will provide the resources so you can buy the car that you need. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Or whatever else you need. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go on. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, and I already quoted it, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you realize all we've got left is a blessing? If the curse has been, we've been delivered from, we've been picked up by God through the blood of Jesus Christ, set in His kingdom where there ain't no curse, only the blessing exists. All we've got to live for is the blessing. We don't have any curse. If the curse manifests in our life, we have allowed it to come somewhere or other. Now, I'll guarantee you Satan's going to try you. He's going to try to put some symptom on you. And if you say, "Oh, I think I got it," he'll whisper in your ear, "You sure have." And then old brother Billy Bob will come along and say, "You know what? My daddy died from that. Had just what you look like you got. I bet you're going to die too. Oh, I feel bad. Oh, my heart's giving out." That's because we're getting out of our kingdom into the kingdom of this world. Amen. When I smacked that microphone just now and it made that noise, some of you jumped. It reminded me of what Brother Anthony told me before the service, that he was somewhere preaching and he had one of these lapel mics on, and he said he didn't realize it was coming, but this big sneeze came and he tried to hold it, he couldn't, and he sneezed in that microphone and he said the speakers cracked and popped and people jumped like they'd been shot. And hallelujah, there was a resurrection in the church. Glory! I wish we could get a resurrection of the Lord moving in churches just by doing that. Brother Anthony, I'd send you out today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just say right now that the Lord's finished as far as the Word of God's concerned this morning. Thank God the Word's not finished. I'm finished teaching, but the Word's going to live on if you'll let it live on. See, you don't have to participate in being a forgetful hearer of the Word. You can choose to be a participant in a doer of the Word. And when you do that, according to what James says, that you'll be blessed. I don't know about you, but the blessing fits me. The blessing fits you. You've got a special blessing fits your life just perfectly because you're a believer. Because you've been redeemed from the curse so that all would be available to you was the blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we have your promises, and your promises are yes and amen in Yeshua. Therefore, we know for a certainty, Father, that everything you've promised us, everything you've said in your word is ours. We have it. Now, by faith, Father, I lift up this congregation and the various needs and those listening by media today. Father, we just lift them up and say, Father, whatever their need is, we know you've already paid for it. Thank you, Father, that as they act on the word that's been brought forth today, Father, they will see the results. Father, they'll see the manifestation come. Father, those blessings, and they'll see the curse leave their life. Satan, take your hands off the people of God. We have an assignment, and we don't have time to mess with you. We don't have time to mess with your distractions. We're going to be single-minded. We're going to be focused. We're going to look straight ahead with fixed gaze. We're going to give careful consideration to where we put our steps to make sure that our steps line up with Yeshua's steps. And Father, we just give you praise and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Anthony, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Pastor. Great word. Here's your phone. Make sure you don't forget it. Where would we be without cell phones? People laugh at me because I can remember when there wasn't no cell phones. As a matter of fact, I didn't even have a phone. I had to get a hold of somebody. I had to write them a letter. It's hard to date when you're courting and you have to write letters. You have no way to get in touch with anybody other than by letter. But that's telling my age. But he's counting the years behind me. Okay. But we're going to take up an offering this morning. So we'll do the come in blessing, and then you all are free to come up and put something in the basket, and we'll give it to Pastor Bowers with our blessings. And thank you for coming today. We appreciate that. Yeah. I know that's your heart, but we still thank you for coming. Yes. That's right. That's right. That's great. Maybe we'll have a preacher one day that is the president. I don't know. That may happen. Anything's possible in God's kingdom. So if you'll stand, I'll do the blessing this morning, and then if you want to make a contribution here, you can, and then you're dismissed. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, this is how you, I want you to instruct Aaron and his sons that this is how you will bless your people. And when God says, when he hears that, he will come and he will bless you. So here's the blessing. Ivaraka Adonai Vaishmareka Yo Adonai Panabeleka Vikunika Isa Adonai Panabeleka Vayasimlaka Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, our coming King, in Jesus' name, Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. You're blessed today. Have a great day.